Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
In the middle of our homecoming series, what is it like to come on home and be part of God's home, right? God's household, God's family, how to live out the scriptures and be God's church. And we're going to continue reading in the passage that we focused on, which is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And here we're going to see a little bit of what God's response is, what God does as we do our part, right? Because God wants to, he can do anything he wants, right? At any time, but God chooses to partner with us. As we do our part and he does his. Let's pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This scripture teaches us what it was like to be part of that first church, those disciples, right, that were there when Jesus was there, right, that saw Jesus and learned from Jesus and now became part of the church of Jesus Christ, his church. And we see what it was like. And it really teaches us what a spiritual family should be like. I remember reading this for the first time and wanting this, like it making sense that this is what the church should be like. That's what I want to be a part of. And unfortunately, growing up, I saw some of it sometimes. I saw other pieces other times, right? But I never really got to see the complete picture. And so that is what we have been striving to live out for the 15 years that this church, the Path Church, has been around, to be like the first century church that walked with Jesus, that was closest to Jesus. I want to focus on verse 43, where it talks about that everyone was filled with awe. Church was awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is awesome.
Everything was awesome for them. They were filled with awe. They were devoted to God. They were devoted to his church, to these four pillars that we talked about. And it was just amazing. There was a certain vibe when they came together. There was a certain energy about them that really, as we see later on in that passage, that brought people to them, that every day God added to their number, right? They had found favor with God and the people. And people were like, whoa, I want to be a part of what is happening there. Now, we have to understand something that's very, very important, that this sense of awe didn't start here. People have always been in awe of God and his, in all of his miracles and his signs and his wonders. You go back through to the Old Testament, right? And the Israelites, you go back to Moses and Abraham and David, and you look through the Psalms and you look in Daniel, you look at all these people who had a relationship with God, who saw God work in a powerful way through the people, right? And they were in awe of him. We see it when Jesus arrives on the scene. And here's just a couple of instances that we find in the book of Luke. One is in Luke chapter 5. This is after healing the paralyzed man that, if you remember, his friends had brought him to Jesus, and they actually made a hole through the roof, right, and dropped him right in Jesus' lap. Like, y'all, Jesus, you need to heal my friend. And Jesus not only heals him, but forgives his sin as well. And this is what it says in Luke 5:26. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." That sense of awe engulfed them as they saw Jesus not only heal this man, but also forgive him on the spot. And they knew that only God had the power to forgive sin. And so this Jesus was putting himself in the same light as God, as being God in the flesh. And they were amazed. Later on in Luke chapter 7, after raising the widow's son from the dead, which this is, you know, there's a funeral procession going on. Jesus just happens to be around. This widow had just lost her only son, which she's a widow, so she had already lost her husband. Now she loses her son. And in this scripture in Luke chapter 7, it talks about how Jesus was overwhelmed with emotion and compassion. And he stopped the procession and raised this son, this young man, from the dead. And in verse 16 of Luke chapter 7, it says this: they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." So it's not surprising that the disciples here in Acts were filled with awe. Why do I say that? Because even though Jesus had resurrected and he had ascended to heaven, right, Jesus at this point had left them physically, and yet he was still with them in spirit. He was still among them. The spirit of Jesus now lived within them. And now they were his hands and feet. They were devoted to what he was devoted to. And therefore, that sense of awe continued even though Jesus had ascended to heaven. My question to you is this: is God's church awesome to you? Is it awesome for you? If not, then we may want to start by checking our devotion, right? Because we reap what we sow. The more invested we are in something, the more committed we are in something, the more we sacrifice for something, the more that we receive joy when awesome things happen. The more it connects with our soul, the more we can value those things because we know how much we've put into God's church. Now, you may say, well, we're not coming to church right now. We don't feel comfortable, or we haven't made it time in our schedule again. It's been hard to transition back to in-person services. And well, I may say that that's the problem. It's hard. It's really hard to not physically in person be around people who are excited about God, to have that fellowship, to have that encouragement. There's a certain energy that we get when we are together, when we sing together and pray together, that we just cannot get virtually. And so either we should be coming to church and figuring out how we can make that happen on a consistent basis again, or better yet, we got to be the church. We have to be the church, even if you're not able to come in person. That's perfectly fine as well. That's why we have virtual church. That's why you're watching me right now. That is fine. But we got to make sure that we are creating environments where we can still get that fellowship, get what we need, and give to others what they need. And we've set it up so that everybody can be part of a small group, because really it's in those relationships that the magic happens. That's what I like to say. It's in the small groups where the magic happens. Because let's be real here, right? if we look back at Acts chapter 2, and it says that 3,000 people were baptized in one day, let me tell you something. They did not have a building that sat 3,000 plus people, right? But they did have homes, and they did have tables to eat together, to enjoy each other's company. And they did have the temple courts. It said every day they met together at the temple courts. This was an outdoor, an open area where thousands of people would come. And it wasn't just the Christians. It was also the Jews. They had a place for the Gentiles to come as well. Now, there's no way that they all knew each other. They didn't even speak the same language. If you remember, the Holy Spirit actually enabled the apostles to speak in different languages and different tongues so that the people that came from all over the world, right, were able to hear the gospel in their own language. And so they didn't even speak the same language. Imagine being part of a church where you couldn't even communicate, right, with each other easily. And yet they still found a way to be together and to make it work. Everyone was still filled with awe. And yes, they had pandemics and they had famines and they had wars. They had all that stuff. But what God was doing was awesome. It was awesome. Are you still in awe of God? Do you see the miracles that He is doing in your life? Are you able to see the signs and wonders that makes Him real? I gotta confess, it's hard to do that these days. If I'm honest, most of the days, everything is not awesome. Most of the time, it's just not. It's hard to see the good in the midst of COVID, in the midst of so much death, in the midst of natural disasters and hurricanes and just fires, wildfires, and just recently the flooding in the Northeast. Like, and you see people, I mean, it's just crazy all that is going on. And I can tell you, this week for me started off feeling very, very heavy. Just like, man, God, you know what? This is hard. Because it's so easy for me to feel everything that's going on around me, even as my friends and family go through things. I'm feeling what they're feeling. As my fellow church members, my spiritual family goes through things, I'm feeling what you're feeling. It can be hard. But I gotta say this. The other thing I struggle with as well is that I can start to minimize His miracles to mere coincidence, right? So I don't just celebrate in the miracles or the answered prayers that I see. And sometimes it's like, God, yeah, that happened, but that happened too. Was that a coincidence, right? That's something that we can struggle with, or even view the miraculous as mundane. We pray about things. We cry out to God about things. We see and hear about great things happening, awe-inspiring things. And we just keep scrolling, or we just say amen, and we just keep it moving. Sometimes I treat miracles as if they're supposed to happen, and I treat problems as if they aren't supposed to happen, as if they were shocking, right, in some way. Miracles can become answered prayers routine, unfortunately, I must confess, even with a dash of entitlement as I move on to the next thing that I want God to do for me. I'm in awe of the problems and numb to the miracles. I don't know if anybody else can relate, but that is Satan's tactic. That is what he wants us to do and what he wants us to struggle with. Because if he can get our eyes off of the greatness of God, then other things become great in our eyes. Things of this world, things that he has to offer. Now, the other thing that can be a challenge for us, instead of being in awe of God, we allow another A word to characterize our life: anxiety. We become consumed by it. Anxiety hijacks our hearts and drains our souls. But as we talked about last week, it's our devotion to prayer that opens our eyes to be able to see God. It's in that moment where we are in communion with God that we can see Him clearly. And it's when we see God, the natural response is to be in awe of Him. I remember that scripture, where does my help come from? My help comes from above. I lift my eyes up to the hill. Sometimes we have to lift our eyes up to the hill, to the maker of heaven and earth. We have to lift our eyes and we have to see God. We have to look at Him and gaze at Him beyond our problems. And prayer helps us to do that. Being in our scriptures helps us to see God. Being in fellowship with one another and knowing what God is doing in other people's lives helps us to be in awe of Him. I can tell you miracle after miracle that I've been able to witness in this church, that we've been able to experience together, people and situations that have left me in awe of God. Things like salvation. Just recently, knowing that Greg Press's mother, Mrs. Barbara, decided to become a disciple after decades and decades of Greg, seeing Greg and his journey with God, the good, bad, and the ugly. And now at the age of 93, Miss Barbara deciding that she was ready to make Jesus Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of her sin, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so that gives me hope. That's amazing. That says, you know what? The people that we love, we can continue to pray for them. We can continue to hope for them, even though they may not be ready right now. I think about healing and protection, right? In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of COVID, and even now this variant going crazy, right? In our country, that even in that, God has protected so many of us. And those of us who have gotten it, so many of us, He has healed, right? Some of us have been in the hospital. Some of us, our whole families have gotten COVID. And yet He has taken care of us every step of the way. Oh, what about the fact that we have a medical ministry? What about that? That in a pandemic, our church has several numerous doctors, healthcare professionals that can help us, you know, that have been able to guide us during this pandemic, right? And not just physically, but mental health professionals that we have in this church to help us not only with our physically to stay safe and healthy, but mentally and emotionally to stay safe and healthy. God has given us that part of our medical ministry. That's part of Mosaic. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of men like Dr. Jackson and his wife and their family. Dr. Jackson, who as an orthopedic surgeon can be doing whatever he wants to do here in the city of Atlanta. He's already working with sports teams like Georgia Tech Athletics, and yet he decides that he wants to make his priority loving God, loving his family, and loving God's church. I'm in awe of people like that. I'm in awe of what God has done in our sister Robin's life, who years ago had a stroke, was fighting for her life, and the church wrapped her arms around her, spiritually praying for her. And God not only saved her life, but if you have any fellowship with Miss Robin, you will see, you will be in awe of her awe that she has for God. Her gentle spirit, her deep faith, her incredibly gracious perspective. We all learn from her. I'm in awe of the way God rescued our brother Miles Vendrees. He had a brain tumor that he overcame, and how God even used that to help his parents get closer to him, to become disciples, to grow in their relationship with God. And then for Miles to become a disciple, and now for his younger sister, Layla, to become a disciple. Wow, I'm in awe of what God has done through the Vendrees family. I'm in awe of my wife. I'm in awe of the way that daily she fights and to give to us and to her brothers and sisters in Christ, to my family, to her family. And let me tell you, you know, if you had to deal with me on an everyday basis, you would be in awe of her as well. I mean, what she has to go through, what I put her through, and for her to keep loving, for her to keep forgiving, for her to keep putting her heart out, for her to keep serving, even through very challenging times, baby, I'm in awe of you, of the God in you. I'm in awe of the way God has provided for us as a church, our church building, to buy a building in a pandemic and to have the resources for that is a miracle. I'm in awe of the way God has used us come together to make this thing happen through our generosity and our sacrifice. I'm in awe of our church itself, not just the building, but our church. We've been through so much over the last 15 years, and yet through our ups and downs, through deep church hurt and conflict, we're still here and we're still living out the mission that God has given us. And in that, souls have been saved. Men and women, couples have been married. Families have been created, right? I mean, it's just amazing what God has done. What miracles have you seen in your life, in your small group, in your own family? When's the last time you just had to sit down and be like, God, did you really just do that? Did you really just do that, God? That's why it's so good to have a journal, to look back over it, to allow yourself to sit in awe of the miracles, the wonders, the answered prayers, and be like, God, you are amazing. In the midst of the challenges, you do not change. Take a moment this week to reflect on those things, to remember those things, to look back over your old journal entries where you were in awe of God, and then ask God to renew them in our day. That's what Habakkuk did, and that's what his prayer was. In chapter 3, verse 2, he says this, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. He says, God, I've heard from my ancestors of who you are, what you've done, the way you rescued us. I know how amazing you are, and I know what you've done in my life, but God, I ask you to do it again, to renew those things in our day right now. And that is the prayer that I want us to have as a church. He closes out saying, in wrath, remember mercy, because he knew what was coming. He had to preach about what was going to happen to the people. He's like, even in that, that's a miracle. Mercy in itself is something that we can be in awe about. That is awesome in and of itself. And he understood that. In wrath, remember mercy. That's a miracle. And we see the miracle of mercy in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so as we take communion right now, that's what I want us to think about and reminisce on and remember how miraculous mercy is. How if God did nothing else for us, how that should be enough for us to be in awe of him, of his love, of his patience, of his grace. And we see that through the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At this time, let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, we thank you so much that in your wrath, you remember mercy. That is an awesome thing. And that is the reason why we can even have a community of believers, a church family, Father God, because you have rescued us and you have brought us together for such a time as this, Lord God. I pray, God, that you will fill us with awe again, Lord God, if we have lost it, Lord God. I pray that daily we can look for things that bring us amazement, things we can be grateful for, Lord God, and that you will protect our hearts and minds from the miraculous becoming mundane, or from anxiety, or from entitlement, Father. Please open the eyes of our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits so that we can see you. God, and truly be in awe of you. We are in awe of your mercy. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made. And as we take this cracker that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us, as we take this juice that represents the blood that was shed for our sin, Father, we thank you and we stand in awe of you. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.